Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Stone's bringing us back. 7 to the hour. Thanks for hanging out with me. I'm Jim Blasingame. I am the Small Business Advocate, and we're having a great visit with our good friend Anna Brewer. She's Director of HR Administrative Compliance with Insperity Center of Influence. I'm sorry, Center of Excellence, I should say. And again, full disclosure, Insperity is one of our great sponsors, our presenting sponsor. Anna, thanks again for being here. We're talking about, folks, what I'm calling the overtime rule, but the correct term is the new white-collar Department of Labor exemption rule. And so, Anna, what you told us about are some of the things that are going to change, like the amounts that you're going to have to pay someone if you're going to exempt them from overtime as a salary, and some of the other things. But one thing that's going to change that's brand spanking new, correct me if I'm wrong here, that I think people are going to really bristle about is all the reporting that they're going to have to do. Tell us about that.
Well, I think reporting is certainly not anything new, Jim. But
I haven't had to turn into the government all the hours my people work every week.
Well, you don't really have to turn it in. However, to your point, you've got to have a robust tracking system. You know, you don't have to have anything.
So I'm not going to. Are you saying the new rules are not going to require me to send a report into the government every month?
No. What you do have to have is you've got to be able to track individuals' hours that are hourly, non-exempt. By law, you're required to track those hours.
So you're going to have to create the report in case it is checked. You're not necessarily going to have to submit it.
Absolutely. If the Department of Labor comes in and would like to review your records,
right. That's
one of the things that you're going to need to produce to them is all your time records back for the last
But in the years. Past, would we have had to have, before this rule, would we have had to have done that?
Absolutely. That didn't change. What is changing is folks who are not familiar with being able to do that. Or companies that don't have more robust, newer type of tracking so that it will reduce some of the administrative burden to them.
Well, and by going from $23,000 annually for salary to $47,000, that's catching a lot of new people, isn't it?
It is. And if those individuals are not going to be bumped up or not going to meet that salary threshold, then you're going to have a lot more folks that are going to need to be tracked and paid overtime accordingly.
Right.
So having an electronic solution, say, for example, ours would be to use TimeStar. If there is an electronic solution where folks do it electronically, you know, our folks are very savvy now
right. These
days in the workforce. They want something that is fast and furious. They don't want to have to go, oh, my gosh, I've got to fill out a paper timesheet, which
right.
is legal. That's perfectly legal. But I would certainly suggest and highly recommend an electronic solution,
right.
whether it's being that they can clock in and out on their computer, and that's electronic.
So are you saying that you think more people are going to be clocking in small businesses now than ever before because of this?
Absolutely. They will have to.
Listen to the good point. Are they tracking this down to the break? To how much the break and how much the lunch hour is?
Well, I think if you have defined breaks, most generally breaks by law are not typically, you know, you don't have to pay for those. But it's not a bad thing to track.
If I've got one employee, two employees, three employees,
mm-hmm.
who now just come to work at 8 and they leave at 5 or whatever,
mm-hmm.
but they don't clock in because it's a small business, somebody like that, they're going to have to now document when they showed up and when they leave?
If they're going to be transitioned to an hourly non-exempt position or
hourly non-exempt, meaning they can't get overtime.
They do get overtime.
They will
get
overtime.
They get overtime over anything.
If they're not salaried, and if they work overtime, or if they are salaried, and I'm paying them less than $47,000, and I don't work them overtime, then I don't have to do that, right?
Well, here's the deal. If they're hourly, non-exempt, the law is that you have to track their hours for anything over, in most states, anything over 40 hours.
Right.
But if you're going to keep them salaried exempt.
Right.
And they fit one of those exemptions that I mentioned earlier, the executive, administrative, or professional.
Right.
You must pay them at least the $47,476.
This is really going to get in the middle of our relationships with our employees, folks, beyond what you can even imagine. Is there anybody quickly in 30 seconds, anybody trying to stop this?
There is a new proposal that's out there running around. It's no different than some of the ones that were attempted before. It's a House regulation. It's 5813. It's the Overtime Reform and Enhancement Act.
Yeah.
The champions are Representative Kurt Schrader of Oregon and one other representative.
Well, that's all right.
But we don't know that this is going to take place. We tracked this.
Yeah.
I got to
wrap it up. Thank you for being here. Insperity.com is her website. It's Anna, come back in a few weeks or months, a month or two, and tell us how things are rolling out.
That sounds great, Jim.
Good job today. Anna Brewer, ladies and gentlemen. Quick break. I'm Jim Blasingame.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.